You may be seated. You know, before Jesus ascended, in Acts chapter 1, and we look at verse 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Now, how many of you know the Holy Spirit lives within you when you got born again? And He is your comforter. He is your counselor. He is your strengthener. He is your standby. He is your intercessor. He, a matter of fact, He ever lives to make intercession for you. So if you find yourself in a pit, if you find yourself in an area of life that looks hopeless, He's right there with you. He's right there for you. He gets right in the pit with you to lift you out of the pit and to quicken you and to restore you and breathe hope back into your life. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so He comforts us all on a personal level. But He also empowers us to bring the influence of the kingdom of God to other people. You know, the Bible teaches three baptisms. First of all, we're baptized into the body of Christ when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord. But then there's water baptism. And today, of course, is Baptized California, as Pastor Brenda mentioned. So water baptism, one person said, is the wedding band of Christianity. I love that. And water baptism basically is an outward declaration of an inward conversion that has already taken place in your life. How many of you have been water baptized? Amen. How many of you would like to be water baptized? All right, let's get the tanks out. We're ready. Amen. And then, thirdly, there is the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And here's what John said about this. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he," and that's speaking of Jesus, "he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit for all of those who will. For all of those who have been born again, this baptism with the Holy Spirit, this empowerment of the Holy Spirit is for you. And He will transform the way you think. He will transform the way you speak. He will change your countenance. Oh, hallelujah. He will move you from the victim zone into the victory zone. Amen. He is a genius. And if you will listen to Him, He will make you look smart. He will make you look quick and bright and sharp. Amen. Amen. He will change your life. Amen. Amen. So pray this with me. Holy Spirit, think through my mind. Speak through my lips. Change my very countenance. I receive in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, let's go ahead and read this together. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Amen. And so today we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. And they waited for the promise of the Father because it was a special thing that was going to happen. Pentecost was the inauguration of the church age, the inauguration of the church. And it says in verse 1 of Acts 2, it says this, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Somebody says, what does the word Pentecost mean? Are you ready for a heavy revy? The word Pentecost means 50. How much did that change your life? And so for Israel, understand this, that Pentecost was one of their feasts. It was the Feast of Harvest. and it was to be celebrated 50 days after Passover. Well, we also celebrate Pentecost, and we celebrate it 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Their celebration, what it was it was a celebration of harvest. It was a time for them to give thanks to God for His abundant provision. Amen. And at the Feast of Pentecost, what they would do is they would take two loaves of unleavened bread and they would do a wave offering. And that wave offering was significant because it was honoring God for His abundance in their lives. And this feast was simply a foreshadowing of the great spiritual ingathering that would occur after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the first followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And it is a great picture here because harvest is included in the Feast of Pentecost. Amen. And so it would impress upon their hearts and it would impress upon their minds that one of the main purposes for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was to enable them, to empower them, to fill them with the power of God so that they could go out and reach the harvest. Yes. And is there a harvest yet to be reached? There is a great harvest. There are billions upon billions of people that have not yet called upon the name of the Lord, but you and I are called. You and I are witnesses. We are empowered to bring the harvest to a lost and dying world. And we must do it with the help and the empowerment and the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, say it with me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Andrew Murray said this. He said, men and women ought to seek with their whole hearts to be filled with the Spirit of God. Without being filled with the Spirit, it is utterly impossible that an individual Christian or a church can ever live or work as God desires. And that is why we honor Pentecost. That is why it is a heartfelt desire for each and every one of you. Not only to have the Spirit within you, but to have the Spirit upon you. He will change your life. Notice with me in verse 2 of Acts 2. And suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Everyone say this, all filled. All filled. They were all filled. Now that word filled there means saturated. That's being filled with the fullness of God. God wants to saturate you today. God wants to saturate you tonight with fresh oil. Amen. So they were all filled, they were all saturated with the Holy Ghost, and to begin to speak in other tongues, or began to speak or to pray in a heavenly language, as the Spirit of the Lord gave them the utterance. Don't you just love the way that the Bible shows us and tells us about this outpouring? A sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, divided tongues like as of fire. Woo, glory to God. How many of you know that fire spreads rapidly? And I believe on the day of Pentecost, one of the things that they found out is that this fire was going to send them into the nations of this world, and this glorious power was going to spread just like fire. Amen. Now, speaking of this gift, speaking of this empowerment of the Holy Ghost, Peter said this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. I want you to read it with me, please. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God shall call. God's calling you. He's calling you. You qualify. You're far off. You're far off in distance, and you're far off in time. But the call of God for this infilling of the Holy Spirit is for today. This is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. One author said it like this: the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the believer, enabling him to find and fulfill God's supernatural purpose and assignment for his life. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember in Luke chapter 18, he said this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He was anointed. He needed to be anointed. Somebody said, yeah, but he was the Son of God. Yes, but he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And when he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, he taught, he preached, and he healed the sick. And he said, it's because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty everyone that has been bruised. Amen. So how did Jesus do that? He did it by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly the way that you and I will be able to fulfill God's purpose for our lives as well. Somebody said, well, why in the world should I be filled with the Holy Ghost? Who am I? You're somebody. The hand of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Oh, say of me, the Spirit of the Lord that was upon Jesus is upon me. Oh, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to make great decisions. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to be a great parent. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you in your business. Somebody says, I don't own the business. Not yet you don't. But when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, he'll make you quick and bright and sharp. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us as a church to pray effectively, to pray for the plans and the purpose for America, to pray for the plans and the purpose for the state of California. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you in the classroom.
Yes, that's right.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon you on the job. Hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you on BART. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you on the freeway. Glory to God. Say it with me. The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
The Spirit of the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord.
He is upon me.
He is upon me.
And he will show you things to come. And he will reveal to you the plans of God and the purposes of God for your life. But he will even show you something about someone else so that you may be an ambassador of healing and an ambassador of health toward their lives.
Amen.
When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, says the Lord, I will anoint your hands with healing power. For what I am doing in this hour, in this day, we are needing much, much more than pastors and evangelists and prophets. We need everyone, everybody with the Spirit of the Lord upon them, because the needs are great and the harvest is plenteous. So declare daily, the Holy Ghost is upon me. He's leading me and he's guiding me. So why is it important for us to be filled with the Spirit? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 18 or 17. It's the will of God for you to be filled.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Notice this. In verse 17, he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but do what? But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay? So we see here that we're to function, we're to operate in the wisdom of God. But the key to that is we need to understand what the will of the Lord is.
Amen?
Amen? How many of you want the will of the Lord?
Amen.
I mean in every area of your life.
Yes.
In your heart, your mind, and your body.
Yes.
Your finances and your relationships.
Amen.
So understand what the will of the Lord is. Now notice with me the next verse. The next verse tells us what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine. We could also say this: be not drunk with the cares of this life. You know, a drunk person staggers. A drunk person makes bad decisions. A drunk person, we could say this, are not in their right mind. And when we are carrying the cares of this world, we're not functioning in the mind of Christ. We're functioning in a different area of our lives. And so notice with me, he says, be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with the cares of this life. Be not drunk with discouragement. Be not drunk with disappointment. Amen? Be not polluted. Be not drunk with the news media. Be not drunk with wine, but wherein is excess. How many of you know you can go to excess on a lot of things? But rather, be what?
Filled.
Be what?
Filled.
Be what?
Filled.
Be filled with what?
The Holy Spirit.
Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, there will not be any room in our lives for anything else.
Amen.
When we are filled with the Spirit, there will not be room for fear in our lives.
Amen.
When we're filled with the Spirit, there will not be room for despair in our lives. Amen. Why? Because you'll see things from a different perspective. You'll see things from a different vantage point. You begin to see things the way that God sees them. Amen. And as you do, you will be changed. You will have greater peace than you've ever had before. Hey, not only that, but you'll have greater joy than you've ever had before. Why is that? Because we're in a kingdom that's not about meat and drink. We're in a kingdom that's about righteousness and peace and what? And joy in the Holy Ghost. How many of you know there's righteousness in Him? There's peace in Him. There's joy in Him. Woo, glory to God. So when we are kingdom of God minded and we are kingdom conscious, we're going to function in our right standing with God. We're going to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We're going to function in the joy of the Lord. And what is the joy of the Lord going to do? The joy of the Lord is going to strengthen you. The joy of the Lord is going to empower you. The joy of the Lord is going to take you through difficult situations. The joy of the Lord will bring the presence of God and the glory of God upon the scene in your life. Oh, say with me, it is joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of the Lord is a container for the glory of the Lord. And so be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is for you. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is not an experience for an elite few. This isn't not an experience just for the worship team. This is not an experience just for Raul. Amen. This is not just an experience for Pastor Caleb. This is an experience for you. This is an experience for me. And I'm telling you something, the younger you are, praise God, the better it is. Because you've got the opportunity to get a head start, amen, on other people that are around you. Now we understand and we see that this infilling of the Holy Spirit didn't just happen on the day of Pentecost. It happened 8 years after when Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. It happened in Cornelius' household in Acts chapter 10. But for the sake of time, I just want to take a look at one area or one thing that happened. And this was years and years, about 20 years after Pentecost. Well, if it happened 20 years after Pentecost, it can happen 2,000 years plus after Pentecost. So these believers were in Ephesus. Notice with me in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to look at verse 6. You see, Paul met some believers, and then he introduced them to the person of the Holy Ghost. Verse 1, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain what? So if you're a disciple, you know, you're already born again. You can't be a disciple of Christ if you're not in Christ. So he found certain disciples. Amen? And here's what he asked them. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You are believers. You have the Spirit within. But have you received the Spirit of the Lord upon you since you believed? You see that? And they said unto him, well, we have not so much heard as there whether be any Holy Ghost. And then he asked him another question. Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Notice with me in verse 6. I want you to read this with me. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied. Now that day, the way the Spirit of the Lord was ministered to them was by the laying on of hands. How many of you that are filled with the Holy Spirit here this morning had hands laid on you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Amen? How many of you didn't have hands laid on you, but just spontaneously in a service or maybe in the privacy of your own home, you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Look at that. That's amazing. That's amazing. That tells us that God is not limited in the way that he fills his people with the Spirit. Now, personally, I got out of a treatment center in May of 2024. Okay. We're just being honest today. No. No. I got out of a treatment center in March of 1975. I was born again. And then I went to a home Bible study. And at that home Bible study, they said, anybody want to be saved? Of course, I wanted to be resaved. I was already saved, but I wanted to be resaved. There's no such an animal, but I did it anyway. And then how many of you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I raised both hands. And the next thing I know, I was in a chair in the middle of that living room with about 50 hands. And I felt something, but I didn't do anything. I was a little intimidated. But I knew something happened. I knew something had happened. And I was instructed, don't worry about it. If you don't speak in tongues right away, just go ahead and worship the Lord. So one day while I was laying in bed, I was worshiping in the Lord. Then all of a sudden, words started coming out of my spirit. I started speaking in a heavenly language. Glory to God. Well, those of you that are going to be filled for the first time today, we promise you there's not going to be 100 hands on you. But we're going to instruct you. We're going to teach you. We're going to show you that it's just as easy to be filled with the Holy Spirit as it is to get out of bed. Well, maybe that's not a good illustration. To eat a steak dinner. Because I know some of you have trouble getting out of bed in the morning. I won't say any names. Anyway. So speaking in tongues then is an initial supernatural sign of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Somebody says, Pastor Mark, do I have to do that? Of course, the answer is no. You don't have to do anything. But I've always adopted this attitude. I want everything that God has for me. And so remember this today. When you come to receive the Holy Spirit, you're coming for everything that God has. You're not just coming for tongues. You're coming for the fullness of the divine third person of the Godhead, the precious Holy Spirit, who will be your holy guest. And tongues are a part of that. Amen. You'll be able to speak supernaturally, and you'll be able to commune with God, who is a spirit. And there are so many benefits. There are so many things about being filled with the Holy Spirit that are so vital for us to learn. For example, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and chapter 4. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you really ready?
Yes.
Say it to me, I'm ready, 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 ready. Now, I'm not going to preach a long time today because we want to take plenty of time to minister to those who want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. Notice this with me. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, what does he do? He edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. Now let's look at this just for a moment. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. When he's speaking of himself here, he's speaking of your inner man, your spirit man.
Amen.
Now the word edify there comes from the Greek word, and it simply means to charge. Amen?
Yes.
And so this word edified is used in connection of charging, just like you would charge a battery.
Amen.
So we could paraphrase it this way: he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, he edifies, he charges, he builds himself up just like a battery.
Amen.
Now, how many of you have a smartphone? How many of you have a dumb phone? How many of you have no phone? Well, we've got categories in every area. But most people have a smartphone. Now, if you will go to Oakland Airport, or if you go to SFO, or if you go to San Jose, they have little areas where you can charge your phone. Amen? You can charge your phone. Now, unless your phone is charged, there is no way that you can access all of the possibilities that are made available to you on your smartphone. I was looking at my smartphone a little earlier today. You know, I have an app for Heart of the Bay Christian Center. Amen. I have an app for the NBA. Pray for the Warriors, please. You know, I have an app for Panera. I have an app for Texas Roadhouse. I might have an app for Olive Garden. Do you see a pattern here? And so these apps, and you know what I'm talking about, they open up all different sorts of possibilities for you. But if your phone's not charged, there's no way that you can access that. Now, it's the same way as a Christian. We have limitless possibilities in Christ. We have limitless possibilities in Christ. But our spirits need to be charged up so that we can access them. Now, cell phones, by and large, should be charged up daily.
Amen.
And your inner man, your spirit man, should be charged up every day. Now, why do we need to be charged up every day? Because there are so many drains out there. There are so many things out there that can drain us of energy and drain us of strength. There are a lot of distractions in this world and in the age in which we live. God's will is not for us to live burnt out. God's will for us is to live fired up. God's will for you is to live charged up. God's will for me is to live built up. Because when I am built up, it not only helps me, but it helps you. I had the Lord say to me a few years ago, built up people build others up. And are there people in our lives that need to be built up?
Yes.
Are there people in our lives that need encouragement?
Yes.
Are there people in our lives that need comfort? You bet there are.
Yes.
So the more charged up you are and the more built up you are, the greater blessing you can be.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not that you're better than someone, but it's that you're ready, praise God, to minister life to them. To minister peace to them. To minister joy to them. Say it with me. Charged up people.
Charged up people.
Built up people.
Built up people.
charge others up, and build others up. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now notice with me in Jude 20. You all still with me? It's 11:14. We're doing pretty good. Now notice with me in Jude 20. In the Amplified Version, and I want you to read this with me. This is a word for you, and this is a word for me. You can charge yourself up. You can charge yourself up. In verse 20, it says this, "But you, beloved," that's talking to believers, "build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress." You ever thought about it? Praying in the Spirit, charging your inner man up, enables you to make progress. And incidentally, progress is the will of God. Profit is the will of God. Amen. Make progress. Now notice the rest of it. Read it with me. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I had these thoughts come to me years ago about praying in the Holy Ghost. And let me just read it to you. I have these in my devotions because I need to be reminded to pray. Amen. I need to be reminded to make sure that my spirit man is built up and edified. And here's what the Lord showed me. He said this, "Praying in the Spirit will edify you, build you up, cause you to make progress, and keep you in the love of God, and enable you to be a blessing." Amen. Praying in the Holy Spirit will keep you from contamination and bitterness and the pollutions of this world. Praying in the Holy Spirit will keep your spirit strong, your soul clear, and quicken your mortal body. And then these thoughts came. Praying in the Holy Ghost will keep you in righteousness and peace and joy. And praying in the Holy Ghost will enable you to be cognizant of the Spirit's indwelling. And as you are aware of His indwelling, He will enable you to keep your tongue from evil. Amen. How many of you know there's some things that are on the tip of your tongue sometimes that just need to go? Amen. So rather than unloading a bunch of junk, just stay charged up, stay prayed up, and the Spirit of God will constrain you. The Spirit of God will enable you to stay in the love zone. And incidentally, when you're walking in love, you will not fail. You will make progress. Praying in the Spirit will help you keep your body under, including your tongue. It'll help you keep a Christ-like attitude. It'll keep your mind clear and keep you free from fear. These are just some of the benefits of praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, Howard Carter said this. This is a great quote. He was one of the Pentecostal world's most renowned teachers on the subject of spiritual gifts. And he said this, "We must not forget that speaking with other tongues is not only the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, but it is also a continual experience for the rest of one's life." For what purpose, he asks? To assist us in the worship of God. I guarantee you, Pastor Tom did not come up here today, or anyone on this platform, Michelle and Ingrid did not come up here half-hearted. They came up here wholehearted, listen, with their heart engaged to the Father of Spirits. These folks don't just lead in worship, they are worshipers. Amen? And aren't you thankful and glad for a worship team that are worshipers? They're not performers. Thank God they're not performers. They are worshipers. But this gift of the Holy Ghost will help you worship God. I was on my couch today, and I just turned on some songs from my playlist. And all of a sudden, out of my spirit, I began to worship God. Paul said this. He said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. But then he went on to say, I will sing. Come on, somebody. I will sing with the Spirit, and I'm going to sing with the understanding also. Woo, glory to God. He will help you worship God. He will help you to go into the throne room of God. He will help you out of your inner man to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as you do, His presence will envelop you. His presence will quicken you. His presence will do for you what you could not do for yourself.
Amen.
Say it with me. In His presence,
is fullness of joy.
Now go over to 1 Corinthians 14:12. We're still doing good. Notice this. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto who?
God.
And then it goes on to say, for no man understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Moffat's translation says it this way. He speaks divine secrets. Ooh, glory to God. Do you know the devil hates it when believers speak in tongues? Why is that? Because mysteries and divine secrets are being accessed. And he can't understand any of it. You got a secret code available to you by the grace of God. And so God has given each and every one of us a divine supernatural means of communicating with God. Mark Hankins says this. I love this quote. He said, speaking in tongues is God's bypass operation. Why would God want to bypass your head? You should know the answer to that. One reason is that you have blockages there.
Yes.
And your thinking needs to change. Now, religion, he says, and the devil will fight you about speaking in tongues. But praying in the Spirit is a secret, hidden, unlimited language of dominion and revelation connecting you to the mind of Christ. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. He went on to say, speaking in tongues will take your prayer life to another level. Strengthen your spirit and give you an advantage over Satan's strategies.
Amen.
You will win in areas where you previously were defeated. You now have the access code to help you activate the plan and purposes of God for your life. I recommend that each and every one of you be filled with the Spirit. And each and every one of you stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of the wonderful instructions that we need to give is this. You need to see that the Holy Spirit has already been given on the day of Pentecost. Amen? And you need to be ready to receive. Amen? And what we're going to do is we're going to lay hands on you. Amen? And we're going to take the time with you to pray over you. And I think one of the things that trips a lot of people up when you talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, they think the Holy Spirit is going to speak, that He's going to do the talking. But notice with me, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began. Say, they began to speak with other tongues. As what? As the Spirit gave them the utterance. So it's a co-laboring together. It's you and the Holy Spirit. But it's your vocal cords. Amen? And so today, praise the Lord, we have about 16 people. We're believing God for about 25 to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Would you all that have signed up to be filled with the Spirit, those of you that desire to be filled with the Spirit, we're going to take you into the youth room. We're going to pray for you. Would you all stand to your feet right now? Let's give them a big hand as they all stand. Amen. Praise the Lord.